This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskincarerepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order.
Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by my figuring out her mic situation, Bree Tucker.
Well, hello, hello, buddy. How are you?
I was all like,
if you watch the YouTube video, it's super cute. She's moving around and hung like this.
You're thinking.
That's thinking hard.
Camden used to have that face too when she was thinking, and she was so cute.
I was so cute when you're little, but as an adult, it's just your gross tongue hanging out.
You can still be cute as an adult. I think I only get cuter with age, really. That's what I tell myself. Anyway.
I get more wrinkles with age.
No, we only get cuter with age.
Now making cuter. Faces. You really gotta join us on YouTube if you're not, because the joys of the extra visuals is so much fun.
No, it's fun. And there's a lot of stuff going on. We're gearing up for our big event this year. The Happy Mom Summit is coming so soon.
I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh. This is our second time doing the Happy Mom Summit. It seems like the last one was only just a few months away.
I know. It feels like it just happened. How is it possible that years just zip by as you get older?
I know they do. They zip by because it's always like, this is what I was told, that you compare it to the life you've lived already. And so when you're little, you really haven't lived much of life. So time just stretches in front of you. But when you're older, you've lived a lot. So you have a lot to compare to. And then time just gets shorter.
I've heard a similar thing. I think what I had heard was that it has to do with memory. So like, memory. Yeah, like how many memories you have memory. That makes it longer. I know.
There we go. Shiny object squirrel girls right over here. It's like we can break out into the song anytime.
I know, right? You never know. But yeah, so it's like it just amazes me how quickly it felt like 2022 just started, and now it's already gone, and we're in 2023, and the whole year is starting all over again. Like there's just all new things. But I'm so excited for the stuff that we have coming up. 2023 is going to be an amazing year, people. We are going to rock it.
It is going to be such an amazing year. And one of our episodes that we're starting it off with is this fabulous conversation with Kelly Smith. She is a globally celebrated yoga and meditation teacher and the founder of Yoga for You and host of the iTunes chart-topping podcast, Mindful in Minutes and Meditation Mama. Kelly believes that there is no one-size-fits-all approach to yoga and meditation and encourages her students to find their own personal practice, listen to their bodies, and find inner joy by accessing their most authentic selves and owning their power. And really keep your ear out in this episode, because we talk about how it is okay to not like being a mom and like being a mom at the exact same time. And I think that's a message we need to hear more of.
It is.
So we hope you enjoy our conversation with Kelly.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Welcome, Kelly, to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. We are so excited to have you because you are all about calm and relaxation and how to really achieve that calm state. So welcome on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to chatting about relaxation and rage and being a mom and all the things.
Mom rage. So real. It's so
like
real.
Two sides of the same thing. Like they exist together. Rage and relaxation. It's the two R's of motherhood.
It's the yin and the yang.
I was listening to your story on your own podcast about how you got started in meditation and yoga. And it all started when you were pretty young with your mom. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I started practicing yoga when I was a teenager, first as cross training for my sports. I was an athlete through college and I started where a lot of people start, which is I wanted the quote, good stretch. I was there to, you know, get bendy. And then when it was Shavasana time, I'd roll up my mat and walk out the door and wait for my mom to pick me up. But then when I was 16, my mom was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. But the story has a happy ending because she's in remission now and is now the greatest Grammy ever. But at that time, I was 16, I was her primary caregiver, and I really had to dive into some of the softer sides of yoga. And that included meditation, that included restorative yoga, you know, visualization, really slowing everything down and focusing more on what was happening like internally, as opposed to externally. And then using the tools that I had from my yoga toolbox to then just kind of navigate such a wild and, you know, challenging and emotional time.
And I think it's so funny how you said you walk out at Shavasana, because that is my favorite part. Like, give me all the Shavasana of just laying there and doing things.
Like, basically, I was definitely a Shavasana. This is like my deepest, darkest yoga secret. I was a Shavasana skipper, but I'm reformed. But now, if I were to go back and tell like 15-year-old Kelly, who would be like, oh, my sweat and stretch is over, I'm out of here, and be like, Kelly, one day you'll have a career and all you'll do is like lead people through 60-minute Shavasanas and teach them how to meditate, I would have been like, get out of here. That is not a real thing. So, you know, it's...
But it's
a
real thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing. And that's what I do now.
It's so interesting to me because I do yoga on an app and they're always like a minute for Shavasana. And then they're like, if you want to stay in longer, you can. But then they go on and talking. And I'm like, why do they do this? Like, this is the best part for relaxation and everything. And so you now do this all the time. It's funny because we have this class at the gym I call napping yoga. Would you say it's kind of like napping yoga? Or would you say it's something different?
So yoga nidra does translate to yogic sleep, but I want to hear about this napping yoga. Tell me about the class that you're... Give me more content. Tell me about
it. It could have been restorative. It was long stretches. Yeah. It was like 3 minutes in a hold, and like you're supported by blocks and use straps.
Restorative yoga. Probably, that's what I go to now on Fridays. I love it. It's a really great way to unwind the end of the week.
100%. I love restorative yoga. It's something that I love and I teach people how to teach it, but that gives me good context to nap yoga. So, and it sounds lovely. Yoga nidra, it does translate into yogic sleep, but what it's going to feel like is, and the reason we do that, we call it yogic sleep, is because we're actually trying to put the body to sleep so we can keep the consciousness awake so that we can do some work on some of the non-physical layers. So it will feel like a long guided meditation. You'll get into like the most comfortable Shavasana ever. You'll get bolsters, you'll get blankets. It'll feel like a little yoga sleepover. And then you'll just listen to the voice of a guide who's going to lead you through different exercises. Like you'll do some more detailed like body scans, you'll do some breath, you'll do some visualization. And one piece that's really kind of sets yoga nidra apart is the use of an intention. We call it a sankalpa. And the idea is that you're journeying through the different layers of your being and hopefully coming face to face with the true self, which is where you're going to plant that positive seed of intention. So not only are you deeply relaxing the body, but you're also trying to connect to, and you can insert whatever word you personally, listener, like to call it, soul, true self, higher self, divine within, whatever you like to call it. We're trying to connect with that space to get to know it better and to plant a positive seed of intention for anything. It could be self-love, it could be gratitude, it could be confidence, it could be forgiveness, whatever seed you want to plant there. We're planting that seed during our practice of yoga nidra, but it'll just feel like a long guided meditation.
Okay. I need yoga nidra right there. Like yeah. That sounds like, so I like my restorative, but that one sounds even better.
What I hear is that it's tend to taking positive mindset work and combining it with a meditation work. Would that be kind of a good description of yoga nidra and getting to that intention? Because when you say the word getting to the intention and inner self, that's where my brain goes a little cloudy. And I'm like, what is my intention and inner self? And how does that change or help me?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So usually, starting with intention, usually the teacher will set an intention for you. So it's usually some kind of like a positive phrase. They've already decided on whatever the theme of that class is going to be. So either of you, either Bree or Joanne, is there anything, not that this is like a therapy session, but like, is there anything that, like any topic that you're really working with right now, whether it be like forgiveness or self-love or acceptance, like what are we working with right now? I'll give you an example.
I think it could be any of those.
acceptance of someone else's unreasonable emotional reaction. Okay, she knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Hey, all, it is Joanne
and Bree here,
and we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explained. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explained, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode, and all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory, two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders. So, join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January. Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks. Unsticking
it. All right, say no more. So in that instance, let's say that, like, if you guys were coming to me and we were doing a yoga nidra practice and you know, maybe you were my client or as a general class or working around, you know, acceptance and accepting that we really, you know, we can't make anyone do or not do anything. Like, all we can really control is ourselves. So you may have an intention in a yoga nidra practice where maybe you would tell yourself three times, I accept what I am responsible for and I release what I am not responsible for. Something like that.
I like
that.
And
so it's going to be like this phrase that you're going to say at the beginning of the practice and then at the end. And the teacher's already crafted that statement for you because it's really hard to come up with your own when you're like really, really, really deep in that relaxation. And then in terms of like the true self, so think of it as kind of those like Russian nesting dolls. Did you ever have those like as a kid?
We love them, yes.
You open one and then another one. They're so fun. the idea is that we're kind of like that. We have these different layers, and what we're trying to do is like open up each one, trying to come to like the one original that doesn't open in the center. That's the true self. And we're trying to speak to her and set that intention with the true self that's like in there, whatever it is that your teacher, or if you're working individually, that like you have decided upon.
It seems like that would be fantastic for dealing with the stresses of being a mom, like the things that can cause us just to be so upset, move into that rage area, right? Because there's so many things that drive us insane that we have no control over, none whatsoever.
Yes.
Have you used this practice as a mom, like when your kids are totally driving you insane, or if
how old are your kids again?
I have one 2-year-old.
Oh goodness,
you have a 2-year-old.
So you're in the thick of it.
And I had one of those lovely pandemic pregnancies, which what a time to be pregnant. But yeah, I just call him Pork Chop. At least, like, you know, it's not his birth name, but on the podcast, he's just Pork Chop. And yeah, he's going to be 2 actually tomorrow. So,
oh my gosh.
Yes. I use Yoga Nidra absolutely when I'm a mother for a few different reasons. One, I like that I can kind of, you know, pick an intention for anything that I'm working on. And I thought it was so interesting, like what you two were talking about, how you can have these two opposing things within you. Mm-hmm. Like if I could describe like how motherhood had changed me the most, or one way it changed me, it'd be just my capacity to hold two opposing things within like one body at the same time has increased so much. Like, how can I be so happy but also sad about this? Like, even my son's birthday, it's so special and it's so beautiful and I'm so grateful and we're celebrating another year of his life, but also like he's a kid now and it's hard, and I'm thinking about when he was a baby. Like, it's these two opposing feelings around like one thing, and this little vessel, this mom body, has to like hold these opposing things. So I think it's really nice and has been beneficial as a mother to, one, be able to kind of navigate those opposing things and being able to work on whatever it is I need to work on. But also, I love that it is such a longer practice. It's going to take around 30 to 60 minutes. And it's so restful, and it's so introverting, and it's so soothing of the senses, which I can't speak for either of you, but I highly suspect that you know what I'm talking about, that it's very easy to get overstimulated, like even getting like touched out. Oh, yeah. Or, you know, I get a little snippy when it's like all of my senses are on overdrive and the house is always loud. Every sense is on like hyperdrive. And to practice Yoga Nidra and to turn inward so deeply and for so long helps to just soothe all of those senses for me, which I never realized I needed so much until I was a parent. I never realized what a luxury like quiet was until I was a mother.
I know, right?
It is like just not being touched.
Mm-hmm. Your sensory system definitely goes into overdrive as a parent. Yes. And something, something you said too about holding those two things, those two opposites there, because I feel so many moms really give themselves grief if they ever feel upset about their children being there or their children touching them. And they try to tell themselves, oh, I should be grateful that they're here. I should treasure every moment. But where you're saying, like, just holding those two things, yes, you are grateful, but yes, you also need this time to unwind and let your sensory system like get back to its very calm, unstimulated state.
Well, I mean, and I think it also is something that you said that's really important, and I think that Kelly was talking about as well. Just, we're allowed to have those feelings. It is okay. And that's, and I was telling you this earlier in the week, we were talking about the whole, like, you know, oh, I should be grateful thing. And I'm like, I don't know, that whole like November when everybody does all those social media posts of like my 30 days of gratitude. And sometimes I feel like it is just made to make you feel like crap.
I can see it. Yeah.
Because like, I mean, on one hand, I get the gratitude. I really do. We need to be thankful. We need to be positive. Like, we need to get out of the downer mindset of that. Things are just not working my way, and it's just everything's falling apart. But at the same time, when everybody keeps saying to you, or you keep seeing people be like, oh, I'm so grateful that my kids are healthy. I'm so grateful that, you know, I have a roof over my head. It almost feels like sometimes it's taken away the validity of your being allowed to be angry that you've got a leak in your roof. Mm-hmm. You being angry that your kids are fighting nonstop this week and nobody is helping out around the house. Like, it kind of makes you feel like, okay, I'm being a schmuck for being upset about it.
Sorry, can you tell that's a bit of a pain point there for me?
I'm interested to hear what you have to say about it, Kelly.
Oh, I have so much to say about it because I couldn't agree more in many different ways. I have several things to say about it. One, what you're describing, like the first thing that comes to my mind is pregnancy. And like when people talk, so like I had a really, really rough pregnancy with my son. And also it was, I found out I was pregnant March of 2020 and I didn't have my first appointment to almost 16 weeks because they deemed pregnancy non-essential. It was a whole thing. And I remember there were moments, not all. And the moral of all of this is usually two things can be true at the same time. And I remember having such opposing feelings because I was struggling so much, being so sick, being pregnant, but also so happy that I was finally going to be a mother. And I felt really guilty for having those moments, being like, because you hear all the time, well, at least you can have children, which is true, right? This is true and this exists. And also the other thing that is true and that can exist is I was really, really sick. I was in bed for a lot of it. You know, it was COVID. I was worried about my business. My husband was a medical resident. Like I couldn't get a doctor's appointment. Man. That was stressful.
That's a lot of stress.
Both of these things can exist at the same time. And they're both okay. It's, you can exist in this space where you absolutely can be so grateful for the fact that you are creating and giving life within your body and you're pregnant. And it's not all rainbow sunshines and, you know, skipping through the flowers, because you know, there's, you can also be like, I'm so tired of throwing up, which is all I've been doing for months or whatever it is. Both of these things can exist. And the fact that you are tired of throwing up or, you know, whatever it is, that doesn't mean that you love your child less or that you're less grateful for this other piece. And I think about it now, like with motherhood and these two opposing sensations, I can love my child and I also can love running a business at the same time. They don't make me worse at the other. It's not that, you know, because I'm also a mom that somehow makes me less than in my business role, or because I am a businesswoman and I run a business or on a podcast that somehow makes me less than as a mother. These two things can exist at the same time. And I think it's important that we recognize kind of the duality of life and that we don't live in this, like, you know, it's either option A or it's option B. Life is complex. It's nuanced. And there's always so much more to it than what meets the eye. And I think we as mothers have to recognize that within ourselves and give ourselves more space.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
If your kid came to you and said, Mom, I'm feeling happy that it's my last day of school because I completed third grade, but I'm feeling really sad because I'm going to miss my friends this summer. You wouldn't be like, well, at least be grateful you're getting an education because there's kids places right. that don't have access to education. Mm-hmm. Like you're right. wouldn't treat yeah. your children that way, but we're so hard on ourselves for having these complex emotional systems. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to not only honor that space, but to model that for our children, that even mom can have these opposing things within her and that's okay.
Yeah. It's interesting you use that example about a kid with two opposing feelings, because I feel like growing up, that was exactly how the adults treated us when we had those two things. We were always told
you should be grateful.
Be grateful.
Be happy.
And look on the bright side. And we've since realized that that's not the best thing to tell people. It's really invalidating a lot of feelings there.
Well, you also can't exist that way, right? Like just being like, okay, I'm just going to stuff those feelings aside and pretend like I don't really have them.
Yeah. No, yeah. You can't do that.
Then so, what do you do when something bad happens?
Right.
You can't feel good about like what, when something tragic happens, if it's always, you know, look on the bright side, just, you know, shove it down deep. Like you aren't equipping people or our children to be able to navigate true hardship that comes with life.
Right. That's exactly right. And so when you do yoga nidra and you take the time and you reset your nervous system, my first question is, do you have to go outside the house to do this? Or what boundaries do you set around yourself be in this state?
That was my question too. I'm like, how
do you? Okay. So I like it's, you usually do it at night. So I'll give what I do and then I'll tell you what my students usually do because it's a little bit different. So I personally do it at night. It's because you're just listening to the voice of a guide. It can be recorded. I have full yoga nidra practices on my podcast and I can just like lay down in bed after Pork Chop has gone to sleep. And I've just, you know, let my husband know, you know, like door shut, you know, leave me alone. And then I'll just like hit play and I'll lay in bed and listen to it. I encourage my students, if they can, to leave the house and go to a place to take a yoga nidra practice if it's available to them, because there's something I think so important too about leaving your space and stepping into a new space with the specific intention of having this practice and having this time carved out for you, because it's really easy for me to say, okay, well, I'm going to take this time, but I'm going to take like the minimum amount of time. I have this 30-minute practice. So I'm just going to do 30 minutes and be done. Versus if you're going to a class, like I do yoga nidra and I play those big crystal singing bowls. So I'll do like a sound bath with it. It's really nice. And that's like 75 minutes, which we wouldn't usually carve out for ourselves. So I encourage people to go like take a class, go have that experience, have that time carved out, like set aside if you can. It can really just like elevate the experience. But technically, you don't need to do that. You just need to hit play and listen to the sounds of a guide. So that's my, what I would say as a teacher, but also my answer as just a human.
That's fun. I would totally Google yoga nidra after this.
We all need it. And I love doing it and sharing it.
So what, Kelly, are you looking forward to right now in your own life?
A lot of things. Again, it comes back to that, like these two opposing things. I think I'm looking forward to the changes that I see on the horizon. So something ever since I became a mother, I've really been trying to honor the fact that like, I'm doing less of what I don't want to do, particularly like in terms of like my business and the work that I do. I've kind of gotten a little more, you know what, that doesn't bring me joy. I don't even like doing that. So I'm going to stop doing it. Like I only have a finite amount of time and resources and, you know, energy to give. And that's led to some pivots and changes in my life that I'm feeling really good and really excited about, of how things are just naturally changing as I'm stepping into this role as a mother. And I'm one of those anomalies that likes change. And so I am
too.
Forward
I like
to,
the change.
Yeah. And it's just, and embracing, you know, the flows. And so, you know, I am a different person since I became a mother. I have different needs. I have, you know, different dreams, and like allowing that space and making changes accordingly, I find to be really fulfilling and exciting. And I think like 2 years in, I'm starting to see some of those changes really come to life. And that's exciting for me.
Kids do change you for sure. And I think in very good ways, making you more self-aware and like, at least talking from my own experience, I am definitely a different person than I was before kids.
Well, I also think
in a good way.
Let's also just look at the fact that how many of us were fantastic parents before we were parents.
We were like, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I know exactly how it's all going to work out. My kid's never going to do this. I'm never going to do that. And then you find yourself years later going, oh, God, just throw it all out the window.
It's funny. I had no expectations going into parenthood whatsoever, but I think I'm an anomaly. I'm just like, let's see how this goes.
I think it depends on a lot of things. Like, so with me, I'm going to say, like, I obviously had a lot of images about what my parenting was going to be like, but I also, like, I was an early childhood specialist. So my whole job was to help parents with their kids 0 to 5. So I thought I had that dialed in, and I had an older sister who already had 3 kids by the time I had my first. So I was all like, oh, don't do that. That didn't work out so well for her. Do this. That worked out so well. And then it's like a game of those two sides of the coin. Like, you can't, the more you try to control it, the more that chaos is going to ensue.
Exactly. I think control breeds chaos, actually.
I think it does too.
And just letting go with the flow and like accepting things as they are. And as you said at the beginning with that intention, what was the intention you gave me?
I like accept what I am responsible for and release what I am not.
Okay, I will need to be saying that. I accept what I am responsible for and release what I am not.
Which again, I think is a fantastic mantra for every parent out there.
Yes.
Especially every mom, because again, we feel like we're responsible for everything and we just aren't.
Exactly. Well, it's been wonderful talking with you, Kelly. And thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me and for just being the highlight of my day.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll talk to you later. So my intention, I'm saying it over and over and over again, because I think it's so hard to accept that you're not in control of other people's feelings.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially I think for moms, it's hard for us to accept that we can't make everything perfect and we can't make everything better. And that's really what it comes down to, I think, like talking about not being in charge of other people's emotions. Our kids come to us when they have an owie, a boo-boo, when they've had like a sad day, they want hugs, they want cuddles. So I think sometimes we kind of get in that whole, I can be magical, I can make everything better. But at the same time, when we can't make everything better, it's like, oh my gosh, who am I now? I can't make everything better.
It's kind of true. It's kind of true. I also wonder, though, if it's something that is ingrained in us by society that, oh, that didn't work. Well, you just have to try something else. You just have to try something else.
Or try harder.
Try something else or try harder. Yeah. And with feelings and emotions and other people, it doesn't exactly work that way.
Right.
In fact, sometimes it works the opposite, where if you keep trying, they'll just get more and more pissed off at you.
Right. Right. The more you try to fix it, it's almost like you're trying to... Have you ever had something delicate? Okay, an example right now in our house. We don't have any filtered drinking water in our house.
Okay.
Why? Because Miguel was trying to fix the faucet. And when he was doing it, he kept twisting it harder and harder and harder, trying to get it to work.
Oh, no.
And then it snapped.
And it snapped.
And then he snapped. And now he's got no water. I have water. Still, my point is like we try to fix it. We try to make it better. We keep fiddling with it. And then sometimes we end up breaking stuff.
Yeah. And it's hard. It's hard when you're dealing with other people and being able to accept that. Like, it is something I still work on every single day, that I am in charge of my own emotions, but I cannot just like figure out, or I cannot change how other people feel. That goes for my kids. That goes for my relatives. That goes for my friends. Like, I have no control in that area. And accepting that is very difficult.
It is. And on top of it too, not taking it on.
Right?
Like, when someone's really sad or upset with you, and like being like, okay, I'm not going to take on them, being, especially your kids. And I think your family, well, actually, no, everything you just said,
everything.
Family, friends, like when someone is sad, when someone is hurt, when someone is upset, not taking on that burden.
And it's hard. It's another hard one. Because, as you know, I have someone upset with me right now that I cannot do anything about. And I'm looking to see, like, what can I do that will fix the problem? And I can't let go. And it's causing me so much stress and anxiety. And
we need to get you to know yoga.
I need some yoga nidra. I need to be able to let go of this, since I have no control over it. Remember, the best mom's a happy mom. Take care of you. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.